Sergio, how are you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
Excited to have you on. I a little bit of a different guest than what we usually have on here, which is kind of exciting because I'm sure people are tired of just talking about the same old strength training and how to lose fat and all those things. So why don't you give people just a little bit of a background of, you know, what you currently do and how you help people, and then I'd love to just jump into your personal story.
Yeah. So I am a coach trainer, and I help people dominate in sales, but also thrive in their marriage. So if you're in a sales and commission role, which is never going to be a 9-to-5, and it's usually going to be your first love, and you treat your wife or your husband like a side chick, well, I'm here to help you figure that out so that you can do both.
Awesome. So how did you get into this? I know you got a bit of a winding personal story. Do you want to go back a little bit?
So my parents got taken advantage of from a real estate agent. And that started this series of events that led me to joining the Air Force. I went to the Air Force Academy because my parents couldn't afford college. And in that, a whole world opened up to me. And I know you talk about health and fitness. I went into the Academy at 192 pounds and I'm 5'6". If you can't figure that out, I kind of looked like a blueberry in my blue uniform at the Air Force. So it wasn't a good look. Yeah. But that progressed and I ended up serving one tour in Afghanistan, came back from that, really struggled with PTSD. So instead of taking care of my body, turned to drugs, alcohol, went deep into that. And there was a moment when I realized that I needed to get some professional help. And not only did I get it from a therapist mentally, but it was my ability to start to take care of my body and get into yoga and get back into some heavy strength training and endurance and all that type of stuff, that the movement and the mental came together to help me pull myself out of this pit of despair and really kind of put me back on track. And that's how I kind of got into real estate. So I got my master's, I got my MBA because I didn't know what to do with my life after the military. And, at that point, I went and got my real estate license. I was in real estate for 6 years. And then I was like, you know what? I've kind of fucked up my marriage being in sales. I made a lot of money, but I lost everything I know about me. Almost lost my wife because we had to call off our wedding. I was like, I want other people to do the same thing. And so here we are, giving back to the community that I am a master of the craft because I learned how to mess it up pretty nicely.
Wow. There's a lot there. So let's unpack it a little bit. One, what is that like, the feeling of coming back from the Air Force and suddenly realizing now you got to do the rest of your life?
You feel like a fish out of water. It's an identity crisis.
Yeah.
Because at 18, I go into the military and, you know, the military does what it's supposed to do. It's supposed to break you down, brainwash you, and get you ready for war. That's what it's supposed to do.
Yeah.
And so when you get out of that, all you know is structure, discipline, speaking a certain way, your semantics are different, your verbiage is different. And trying to unravel all of that, because the military also stunts emotional growth pretty heavily. So I'm sitting here in a position as I'm getting out, serving 6.5 years as an officer, being like, well, where do I go from here? And there's this moment of death and rebirth that had to happen for me to figure out, well, who am I now and what do I want? And it was very uncomfortable for multiple years in a row until I finally got my feet back underneath me. And I know a lot of veterans struggle with this and some don't, but for me, it was the real deal.
Yeah. I can't imagine. You know, an entire world, one, you see a different perspective than what everybody else sees out there, right? Like, I think it's, you know, there's so much conflict in the world. There's so many things going on and everyone's got their opinions, you know, and people will debate all day, but the reality is, like, most of us have no idea. Like, we have no idea what it's actually like to be over there. Right. Or anywhere, or even in the military in the first place, like even just having that thought in your head that you might go somewhere. Right. Like most people go through life never truly feeling in danger the way that you probably did. Right. And so to have that mentality, like, it's got to be so hard to relate to people when most people have never had that experience.
It was at first, but it's a constant reminder of why I did it. Like, you don't need to feel that. You didn't make that choice. Like, that's why we did it. That's why we decided to follow our calling. The military is one of the first callings that I've ever had in my life that I listened to and just went. And while it was hard for me to relate and connect when I got back, the moment that I was able to process it and realize, like, we did that for a reason, so that people can have these insecurities about the way they look, that people can worry about, oh, I can't see my abs or I'm overweight. Like, they have the right to feel that way, instead of having the unnecessary pain to feel like, well, what happens if I get killed today? Mm. And so to me, yeah, it was hard to relate, but at the same time, it's like, that's what makes this whole thing beautiful, is what we're fighting for.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you for your service.
Appreciate that.
First off. And so then after that, there must have been a lot that happened, that if you went into, I'm going to help people with sales and I'm going to help them with their marriage, then, you know, I think you as a coach, like, I feel this so much that I think anyone that coaches, you really start, you know, pinning in the things that you messed up the most. Right. So talk to me about your marriage and some of the struggles there early on that pushed you into, like, realizing, like, holy shit, this is a problem for me. But then also, this is a problem that a lot of people are facing that they probably don't even know.
Yeah. I've never had an addictive personality, but when I find something I like, I just did it. Like, the first time I found mushrooms, I was like, this is pretty cool. Let's do this for the next 3 to 5 months. Same thing with Molly. I was like, this is awesome. Let's explore this. Mm-hmm. Same thing with alcohol. And it was one of those things where I could always just kick it. Like, alcohol, I'm done. Drugs, I'm done. Like, it doesn't control me. Porn, I'm done. You know, all of these things, I could just, like, get rid of it. But the addiction really came into focus when I went from making no money and being broke to making the most money I've ever made in my life. And I was like, holy shit. And they say money changes people. I think it just exposes your insecurities. Like, it's one of the best mentors you could ever have. And so knowing that I had stepped into this career where I no longer had the security of making money, it's one of those things where I went all in. The old adage of burn the boats, I did it. I had no other options. And I had met my wife my girlfriend at the time, now wife, just as I had started down this path. And there's a lot of required energy and inertia that it needs to be put into a business to launch it. After you get it moving, there's some momentum, some flywheel action where you can ride that out. But what ended up happening was I just got caught up in the hustle and grind. I bought into the culture. Work harder, do more, sleep less, don't complain. It's like, got it. Like, big Jocko, big David Goggins fan at the time.
Yeah.
But that's not sustainable. Like, I ended up just becoming this guy that was in shape and making a lot of money, but his wife was just like, you're a fucking prick. So we end up getting engaged, and that was probably the spark that set it all off. Like, we started going toe to toe and just fighting nonstop. I'm trying to grow this real estate sales business, right? Trying to make money. And I'm also trying to maintain this relationship. And the fights got so bad that, you know, we ended up having to get into couples therapy because we called off our wedding. It was so stressful. At that exact time, because of the stress, I ended up having a heart attack at 34. And it was this downward spiral of, like, this deep darkness and insecurity and doubt in myself, not knowing if the relationship was going to last or if I could actually make money again because of what had transpired. And it wasn't until the end of 2020 when I had really, like, gone too far in and I had my biggest year in sales that I had ever had, that I realized that I was simply a professional success and a personal failure. My wife knew it. We were fighting. My parents told me they didn't recognize me anymore. My sister's like, hey, when you're in the room, you're not in the room. It was for the first time that the honesty that was coming out made me take a step back and take inventory on where I was at and what I needed to fix.
That's I'm sure many people feel that on many different wavelengths. I'm engaged right now. I was married once before this, and, you know, we met very young. And I think a lot of, you know, I think in the long run, like, you look at it from whatever happened, it's ultimately the best. I think we're both in way better situations now. But looking at it at that time, it's like, man, in your 20s, it is just, it's so hard to even understand like what a relationship is and should be. And I think once you see it, you know, I'm sure now that you're on the other side of this with, your wife now.
Yep.
So I'm sure you see a completely different version of relationship, right? And what it should be. And that is when you're not in that, it's, you have no idea, right? What it could be. And I think the hard part is like, we get so caught up in chasing things and the reality is like, nothing's ever going to be enough when you're in that mode, right? Whether it's money, whether it's, you know, I've talked about this so much on this, like fitness, right? Like people are chasing these unattainable bodies that they will never get. And even if they do, they won't be happy because someone else has a better one.
100%.
And it's so difficult because we get so caught up by chasing things and ideas that we completely forget that the whole point of this is that we're here with other people. And so if we're ignoring them and we're not connecting with them, we're not building relationships, then what are we even doing all this for in the first place?
And it's easy to get caught up in that. That's why I'm a big proponent of you have to go after having it all. You can't just have the body and no money. Like, good luck with that. You can't have all the money and be a piece of shit. Good luck with that. And so it's this concept of, well, can you have it all? Can you be in shape, have a connection with your creator and yourself, have a good marriage and a good relationship with your kids, and make a shit ton of money?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you can't have all of them, then what's the point?
Yeah. At the very least, strive for all of them, right?
Yeah.
Because I think that's the hard thing. It's like, I genuinely don't believe that there's like ever such thing as true balance, right? Where it's like everything is perfectly, you know, rising at the same time. Like, I think the reality is like, sometimes you got to focus a little bit more on this. Then you got to realize like, I've been neglecting this. I got to focus a little bit more here, right? And hopefully over time you're balancing out. But I think the real problem becomes where you go all in. And I'm the same way as you. It's like, I think that we're both these personalities that if you put me, you know, if you flip the coin and I landed on the other side, I could have easily ended up being addicted to like a bunch of other things. I just ended up like, success and progress was my addiction of choice, right? It's the same gene that kind of put us there, is that like, whatever you choose, you're not going to stop until you get really, really good at it.
Yeah. And it's wild to think that we all have addictions, but nobody wants to own up to it.
Mm-hmm.
Social media, coffee,
porn.
Like, you get to choose your addiction. You also get to choose to get off your addiction. People are like, well, it's not that easy. I was like, I know it's not easy. I didn't say it was easy, but your ability to do it and to leverage what you have, because your addictions can be good addictions.
Yeah. And well, and to push that further, fitness, right? The food, like the amount of times, like, I think that's where it gets so difficult. If you talk about fat loss, right? Or weight loss, or you talk about getting healthy and with fitness, like, we don't understand. We don't ever talk about the behavioral side of it, right? Like, the reality is, someone who needs to lose 100 pounds, there is something else going on than them just understanding they need to eat less, right? There's a component of food that has, whether it's in a true addiction or not, there's addictive properties.
Yeah.
But then on the flip side, right? And I've seen this, like, there's been multiple people on the show who have lost over 100 pounds, and they often end up in this place where that same thing that drove them to always wanting to eat more food now has just moved into fitness. And they're that person that is working out 6 days a week. They are constantly sore. They're tired. They feel like shit. The only time they have energy is during their workouts, right? But then outside of the workouts, they have no energy. And that's the dangerous part with fitness, is we almost sometimes, like, people will say, oh, well, you know, the gym is my therapy. And the reality is, like, it's great for your mental health, but it is not therapy. It will never replace therapy. No. And if we are constantly using these things, whether they're good or bad, right, to almost escape all of our problems and all the things that we're trying to run away from, it's, you're never going to actually fix any of it.
No, it just becomes sedation, just like everything else. People use food to sedate. People use working out to sedate. People use sex to sedate. People use inaction with their spouse to sedate. People use work to sedate. Like, it's all sedation. And your ability to identify, well, is this serving me and moving me in the right direction, or is it actually hindering me? Because I had this conversation with one of my clients. They're like, my wife is so supportive of me. She's like, she's always telling me that she knows I'm going to do well. You know, so I always feel like, you know, I just got to stay back in the game. I go, your wife is fucking you over. But like, her ability to not be honest with you about you being a fucking loser is actually hurting you. And he goes, like, I'm not a loser. I was like, I didn't say you were a loser. I was like, but you look at yourself as a loser. And her enabling you to prevent you from actually taking the action you need to take is just sedation.
Yeah.
And that's a hard realization to realize, well, I thought my wife was supporting me, but she's actually hindering my growth. I know. I know it's hard. And one of the things that I learned too, to talk just about fitness sedation, we had our first child 18 months ago, got another one coming in March. And I ended up using working out as sedation because I wanted, my life's not going to change. I'm going to stay in shape. Cool. Working out twice a day. And my wife's at home just in tears with the kid. Nice job, Sergio. Did a great job, but I was healthy, but my wife and my marriage wasn't. So was it actually beneficial or was it actually hurting me?
Yeah. Wow. There's, you know, if you look at the last 50 years, and I think we all cling on to like obesity as like the biggest rising problem, right? Which leads to a lot of other health problems, right? Like, for sure, it's an important one. And you could talk about, well, we have way more processed food, it's way more convenient, it's easier to get it. We live in DoorDash society now, right? Like, people don't need to cook their food. They don't, like, everything's become more convenient, more comfortable. So you don't need to cook your food. You don't need to take the stairs. You know, there's so many things that, like, you don't have to move as much and it's much easier to eat. So we know that. But what we don't talk about is there's also at the same time been a giant rise in mental health problems. And depression and anxiety are more prevalent than ever. Suicide rates are higher than ever. And all these issues that seem to be plaguing us, you know, you could argue are coming from the same pursuit of making everything easier and more comfortable. Why? Like you mentioned earlier, well, social media, right? Like, that is essentially the fast food version of relationships and connections. We believe that we're staying close to people, but the reality is, you know, 30 years ago when you had to go visit your friends from high school and like plan a trip to Niagara Falls together or something to like actually see each other, now we believe that we are staying connected with them because Facebook will once a year send us a ping to tell us to make sure that we wish them happy birthday.
Yeah.
Right? But that's not true connection. And so I think we're in this place where we're almost forgetting how to connect. And the problem is, like, now there's a whole new generation that is, they're literally being raised with this.
Yeah.
Right? That they don't even know a different world outside of connecting to people online. It's kind of crazy.
And when you think about the connection piece, it's your inability to connect with other people is based on your inability to connect with yourself. And your inability to connect with yourself is a lack of self-awareness. And a lack of self-awareness means that you're not listening to what your body is telling you. And so if you're not listening to that and you're constantly not aware of what you're eating, you're going to just eat too much or you're not going to eat enough because you're not paying attention. It really comes down to a lack of connection with ourselves and a lack of awareness of ourselves, which is bred into this society of like, well, it's not your fault. It's not your fault that you're fat. It's your parents' fault because they gave you this framework. Cool. How's that storyline going to serve you? Is that going to make you get in better shape or less shape? The reason everybody is, you know, suicidal or depressed or anxiety, you know, anxiety ridden. Oh, it's not your fault. You have a condition. Just take this medicine. Well, in doing that, you're taking away the power that they have to actually change their own life. So now they feel fucking hopeless. And in that, it just accelerates whatever they're feeling. But the moment that you're like, hey, you may have something, but it's in your control and your ability to take care of it yourself. Medicine is an option, and that might be for a percentage of people. But the reality is ADD and obesity didn't go up because it just started to become an issue. It's because we took away people's power and ability for them to connect with themselves and own their own shit.
Yeah, we, you know, we live in a really hot take environment now, right? Like someone, I mean, the thing about sports, right? If someone has a good game, they're the greatest of all time. If they have a bad game the next game, then they're trash. And yeah. It's like, that's just how it is now. Like it's all headlines and, you know, people get canceled. There's like every single action you do is under a microscope because of social media and the internet. And so we live in this world now where we're almost like terrified of making any mistake that shows that we have any kind of flaws or weaknesses. And I look at, like I said, my first marriage, like I look at that one and I try to, you know, at the end of the day, to your point, if you don't walk away from something that you failed at, right? And at least look at yourself and say, well, what could I have done better, right? Even if it's not all your fault. At the end of the day, like the only thing you can control is what can you change next time, right? And walking out of that, like I look at that and say, man, I don't think I was very vulnerable in my 20s. Like I was an athlete in high school. I thought I was the shit. I thought I was going to live forever. And every single thing, like I always wanted to show that I could beat other people in everything I do. Right. And so what does that do? It's at no point did I want to ever admit that I was wrong or bad at something, or I didn't know something. And what you don't realize when you kind of live like that is one, it's miserable because you don't ever actually talk about the things that are bothering you. But two, the thing that actually connects you to other people is vulnerability. It's being able to say like, hey, I'm a human being too, and I need your help. And it's so hard because you don't realize that when you don't do that, like you're just pushing other people away more.
100%. That's one thing that therapy taught me. I'm this masculine 32-year-old male. Well, I thought it was super masculine. On the outside, it looked like it.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until I raised my hand to realize like, hey, I'm kind of struggling right now. I need your help. That was the first time that I was actually a full man. But you're right. What we see on the internet, the way we show up in our relationships, it's all built on a bunch of bullshit. One of the principles that we have in my coaching program, Become the Standard, and in my family, is simply this. Stop lying and tell the truth.
Hmm.
To yourself and to everybody around you. What if it bothers somebody? Well, if you can't be honest with somebody, then your relationship is just built on lies. And if the truth breaks the relationship, well, then it was never actually a relationship.
Yeah. I mean, the reality is too that you don't have to be a dick to tell someone the truth, right? Like there's, and it's very hard because if you get to a point where you guys just never, that's the thing is like, if you never fight, never argue about anything, never debate anything, there's a problem.
Somebody's lying in that relationship.
And I think you have to realize that the reason why you can't tell the truth and be transparent and be vulnerable is because you haven't done it with each other in so long, right? That it feels weird to do it. But if it's like a constant conversation that you're having that, you know, sometimes you're like you have to be able to say, I'm just going to talk about this now because if I don't do it now, then it's just going to be in my head for the next 6 days. And then I'm going to be more quiet. And then I'm going to probably, you know, without even realizing, push you away a little bit more. And then I'm going to get mad because you're quieter now. Right.
Yeah.
All these things that like, if you just brought up the conversation and just had the weird 5 second moment where you're like, can I talk to you about something? Right.
Yeah.
Cause as soon as you start talking about it, it's never as bad as it seems.
No.
Right.
Yeah. And listen, I teach people on this. This is what I coach people on. And yet somehow I continue to fuck it up from time to time. Like I was traveling 6 out of the last 7 weeks. And we have an 18-month-old. My wife is a stay-at-home mom. That didn't go well. And I knew it was starting to cause some resentment, but we just didn't have the conversation. The other night we're in the closet. our son had just gone to bed. We get into an argument about it. And my wife, who's the most calm, collected, reserved person that I know, she raises her voice, looks at me, and she goes, "None of what you're fucking doing works without me."
Hmm.
I was like, "I know." It's like, "You're right. I know." And I knew it was true. And what I was proud of her for in that moment was she had a decision to make. I can continue to sweep all of this under the rug and not, we won't fight. Or I can choose to fight for the connection and the relationship that I want and the one that we both deserve. And the moment she switched the frame on, I'm fighting for the relationship that we both deserve, and she wasn't fighting me, guard comes down, and now we can open up about things.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. It's, I literally this week, me and my fiance were, I had just a stressful week at work, stressful week of building out this business. You know it, right? You know, when you're doing it and you know that you're being a little bit more reclusive and disconnected because you're just in your own head. It's almost like you have like that kind of like disassociated feeling, right? That because you're just like thinking about these things all day and it has nothing to do with them a lot of the times, right? It's like you're just in your own, you're wrapped up in your own shit. And it's like one of those things that I can tell like over the like the couple of days, it was like we were talking less, you know, kind of like less affection, less emotion. And in my head, it was like one of those, like, I can't deal with this right now. Right. Like I've got all this other shit going on. And I think in the past, it would have been one of those things of like, it'd be really hard for me to look at and be like, why are you being so quiet? Why aren't you talking to me? Right. Where this was like, oh shit. I'm kind of pushing her away right now.
Yeah.
You know, and like, we literally right before this, we were on a walk and she was like, "What's running through your head?" And I was like, "What's running through my head?" She's like, "Yeah, like what's running through your head?" I'm like, honestly, I'm pretty stressed. And I was like, and I kind of like laid out all these things and she's like, "Yeah," she's like, "I've kind of been in like my own head because like you haven't like really been talking the last couple of days." And I was like, fuck.
And I
looked at her and I was like, you're right. You're 100% right. And it was like having that conversation though, like, you know, and I was like, cause I looked at her and I was like, "Look, I love you. It has absolutely nothing to do with you. Like I'm just very stressed, all these other things. At no point was it ever to do." And then she's like, "Yeah, same." Like it was, I've been stressed and it has nothing to do with you. And we like look at each other like, "Okay, great." You know, but it's like, if you can't have that moment, then what I think what a lot of times happens is that tension that it just keeps building. It keeps building over months, years, where you never have that conversation. And you, the whole time you're like, "What is wrong with you?" Right? Like, why are you always so crabby? Why are you never talking to me? And you don't realize like how much it's like your own actions are a lot of times creating that environment.
Yeah. And it's interesting too. This is what I love about the physical arena, like being able to go work out and be in that space, is like, it forces you to get out of your head and into your body. And for a moment, it calms things down and makes the space for you to connect with yourself and be like, "Oh, I didn't realize I was showing up that way." In my experience, it accelerates some of the things that need to come up in the relationship. And resentment's kind of like the opposite of wine. It doesn't age well with time.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's only going to get worse, but you know, let's keep sweeping under the rug. I want a big blowout later. And it's, you learn this, and this takes time and this takes repetition. I think the hardest part for, I don't know about you, Herman, for me was always, things are good right now. I don't want to rock the boat. I just don't want to, I don't want to bring this up. Knowing that if I don't bring it up, things are about to be not good. Good in my mind is the first indicator that things are going in the wrong direction.
Yeah. Do you think part of it is that we look at relationships and we look at marriage now as almost like another thing on the checklist, right? That it's like success. It's like getting a job. It's, you know, doing your workouts, whatever. It's like you have these steps in your life that you know you're supposed to do, right? Because everyone does. Everyone gets married. Everyone moves to the suburbs. Everyone has two or three kids. Then you retire and then, you know, you live in a, like an old folks community with everybody else and ride off into the sunset. And it's like, our whole story's been written out for us that when we get married, it's like, all right, cool. I got that part done, right? Now I can move on to the next thing. And you don't realize that it's like, well, yeah, but the same way you build a business, the same way you build a body, the same way you build your career, that shit can't stop at level one. Like you got to keep building that the rest of your life.
Yeah.
And I think most of us don't really understand that.
Like getting married is just the starting point.
Yeah.
And I had this therapist tell us one time, you know, I ask couples, what's something that you want to change when you get married? And most people say nothing. This is great. And he goes, the answer should be everything. That this is just the beginning of the evolution of what the couple looks like.
Mm.
And so to kind of circumvent this idea of following the pattern of, you know, whatever it is that society is doing that you think you should follow, the job, the wedding, the car, the house, whatever the fuck it is. It really comes back down to one simple question that most people don't even know the answer to. What do you want?
Hmm.
If you don't want to get married, don't get married. I didn't want kids until my wife gave me a ultimatum on like date three of being like, hey, I want kids. I know you don't. If that's the case, when we need to go our separate ways. Came around to it. And now, dude, being a dad's the fucking coolest thing. It's so fun. Yeah. Not the coolest thing I've ever done. I saw Tupac hologram at Coachella. That was awesome. But it's cool. It's like second. So I think it's the ability to get clear on what you want. And then once you know that you want it, you have to treat it like a true relationship. I want to invest in this thing. I want to water it. I want to nurture it. Just like you invest in yourself and your health and your fitness, you invest in your business and growing and expanding. You got to invest in the marriage. And once you start to fall in love with that, then you treat it that way.
Mm. From your perspective, in 2023, you know, you look at divorce rates rising, you look at rates of loneliness rising. We got this whole hookup culture that you can basically just find anyone to hook up with just by the touching the button on your app now, right? What do you think is stemming all this? What is the biggest problem in why relationships seem to be declining across most people?
People stop investing in themselves. People stop figuring out who they are. People stop asking themselves the question, what do I want? Is this the relationship I want? Because if it's not, well, then what do we need to change? Do I want to be on the social media apps or the dating apps? Or is this just because everybody else is doing it? There's plenty of other ways to date. Plenty of other ways to do it. I was in that scene when I met my wife. I chose not to play that game. There's ways to do it. I think the biggest thing is really just being able to take a step back, calm down for a moment, set some parameters where you can find some peace and connect with yourself, and then get back to where am I at and what do I want?
Hmm. It's interesting that you said, is this the relationship that I want? And if not, then how do we make it that, right? Because I think a lot of people take that first part that you said and they go, no, this is not the relationship that I want. I'm going to find a different one,
yeah.
Right? Because again, we're like in this hot take environment and people fundamentally believe that that's who that person is. So they have this one pet peeve that I didn't know about until we started, you know, sharing a house together. And we're like so quick to write everybody off now. When the reality is, to the point you made earlier, there's going to be a lot of shit that you probably don't like about each other, right? Like the marriage is just the start of it.
Yeah.
But if you don't like something, or if you don't like where the relationship is, you know, maybe even you don't like where most of the relationship is, that doesn't mean you can't get it there.
Yeah.
Right. It doesn't mean that you can't build something different together. And that's the beauty of it, is that over time, like the best relationships, like you really should be becoming even closer over time because you have to fix this shit together.
Yeah. If you think about this, it's not that hard. The ability for us to separate the facts of what's going on in the relationship. This is what is factually happening. Not the truth, because everybody's truth is different. Just look at the left and the right in politics. people's mm-hmm. truths are different, but the facts are the same. And then you separate the facts from your feelings. Lizzie, mm-hmm. my wife, did this, and because she did this, I think she's a bitch. Huh. Mm-hmm. So what's my focus? Lizzie's a bitch, which means every time she does something, that's going to be the lens that I look at it through. Mm-hmm. So we have to get to the story that we are telling ourselves about the situation. Because whether it's this person or another person, you're the common denominator. And the same problems are going to arise unless you fix them inside yourself. So our ability to establish the facts and our feelings allows us to then identify, well, what is our relevant focus? Because if Lizzie does something and it frustrates me, and my focus is now, oh, she's tired from, you know, taking care of the baby all day. Let me just go help her out. She seems stressed. Let me take care of my wife. If that's now my focus and I see her through that lens, then when something's left out and I put it away, or if she's struggling and I go do something for her because I want to take care of her, what does that do to the focus and the fruit that is now bared in the relationship? That's very different than if I constantly just look at her as a bitch versus I look at her that she needs help. It changes all of my actions. So you change your story, you change your actions, and in changing your actions, you change your life.
Yeah. How do you, if someone is in a place now where, let's say, their relationship is so far down the resentment road, right, that they are that person. Every single thing they look at them, like, it annoys them, right? It's they've gotten to a point where all they think about is like, they do this thing and I hate it, right? How do you get out of that? From, you know, because there's the reality is, like, when people get together, obviously you had something,
yeah,
right? And there's you have the same values, same beliefs to a degree, and you worked on things similarly, right? Hopefully. And I think along the way, sometimes you forget who that person is, and you probably put yourself a little bit on a pedestal, right? You forget that, like, hey, maybe you also do some shit that's unpleasant sometimes, right? But how do you get to this place where you start remembering that it's like, why is she acting like that? Right? Like, do I have any part in that? Is there something going on in her life that is making her act like that? Like, we almost forget that it's like, hey, that's a good human being that I chose to be with. Maybe I should give them the benefit of the doubt.
There's a phrase I like to say, that the health of your relationship is dependent on the quality of questions that you're willing to ask. So I help people start to get curious again. No different than what you just said, right? You nailed it. Let's start asking questions to ourselves. Is this what we want? Why do we want it? Do I still love this person? Do I want it to work out? Why did I fall in love with them? Do they still do things that make me happy? Would I be happy without them? So we go down these series of questions and figure some things out for ourselves. Now we're going to go to the spouse. Hey, listen, this is going to be a weird conversation. You're going to have to go talk to your spouse about the things that you don't like, but you're going to have to do it from a state of being curious. Hey, babe, do you still want to be in this relationship? What do I do that bothers you? What do I do that you like? So we could go through this whole thing. And at the end of that, you might find that the both of you want to be in the relationship and you want to work together. Or you might find that you both are like, you can go fuck yourself. I'm going to get a divorce. It's going to happen either way. So to me, there is no, you can't be attached to whatever is going to happen. You just have to be curious. And in that curiosity, if it means that you're going to separate, then you're going to separate. But if in that curiosity, you realize like, hey, we're not in a good spot right now, but I want to work on it. Do you want to work on it? Cool. Then let's work on it. And that's what happened to me and my wife. We called off the wedding and both of us were like, I hate you. We said that. We verbalized those words. I hate you. Shields come down for a moment in this event that happens. I look at her and go, listen, what are we doing? I was like, do you want to be in this relationship? She's like, I do. It's like, well, then do you want to work on it? She's like, I do. So got into couples therapy. A decision based off a hard conversation that came through curious questions.
What do you do if one person does really want to work on it and the other person just wants to avoid the conflict?
You have a decision to make. Are you willing to go do the work on the relationship with me, person who doesn't want to do the work? No. Okay. Are you willing to work with me outside of getting professional help? No. Well, we have a choice. Do we want to stay in the relationship and be miserable with somebody who's never going to love us or have sex with us? Or do we want to say goodbye and actually set that person free to go do what they want, even though they don't know what they want, and for us to go do what we want? You have to stop making decisions based out of guilt and obligation. And the moment that you can do that and you can get to a level of truth and inevitably freedom, then you can start to design and curate the life that you want. It kind of comes back to this whole thing. If you can stop lying and tell the truth, maybe the truth is that you don't want to be with that person. And that's okay. Maybe you've just been lying to yourself. Or maybe the truth is you haven't been trying very hard. And you know that if you just simply just tried a little bit, the relationship would heal itself.
I like that you said out of guilt and obligation, because like I said earlier, with the marriage, you can feel like you checked something off the list, right? And I know, like, it's funny because I, looking back at divorce, right, which is like such a scary word, but after going through it, it's funny because it's like, I think that actually made my relationship now stronger than ever. And I think the reasons are, when marriage is a checklist thing, you know, at that time, like in my head, I was like, you don't get divorced. Like, you just figure shit out. Like, no, that's not an option. Right. Well, what happens when it's not an option anymore, to your point? Well, you don't got to try that hard. Right. Yeah. Because like, what's the worst that can happen? Nothing in your head. We've already done this. We've already chosen that we're going to do this together. Right. And I think going through it, seeing like, no, there is another option and it could end up in a very different way. Now going into this, like it's not like it makes my perception of marriage as like this flimsy thing that, oh yeah, no, you can just always get divorced. Like, I already done it once. Like, no, not at all. It's actually the opposite. Now in my head, I understand it is a choice. You are choosing each other. And if you're going to choose each other, you got to work on that shit, right? And if you don't, then there's going to be a different choice. And I think having that, like, just having that, the power of understanding that it's not an obligation, right? It's a decision that you're making it together. Well, now you can go and operate that like you're two people that want to do this, yeah, rather than two people who need to do this because you're legally binded now.
Yeah. We talked about hot takes. Divorce should be an option in a marriage. It forces you to raise the stakes in what you do. We've watched teams play to not win. They play to not lose. They don't play to win. And in playing to not lose, they end up what? They end up losing. The moment that divorce is an option in a marriage, if the standard is not met, you raise the stakes on how you show up in the game. You force yourself to play to win. Because you know that in losing, there's an option. But if you take divorce off the table and you're just like, well, we're going to be together forever, even if we fucking hate each other. Well, then why even show up?
Which many people
play
do.
Continue to play prevent defense and potentially lose the game.
Yeah. I'm a Bears fan, so this is very...
I'm a Broncos fan, dude. we're in the same fucking boat, man.
As a coach who helps people with this, what are some of the, like, from a tactical perspective, you know, what do you have people implement in their relationship to be more vulnerable with each other and just have checks along the way to make sure that you are fixing things and improving them and understanding if you're on the same page?
Yeah. There's a few things. One, it's your ability to connect with yourself. And also being able to memorialize whatever those thoughts are. So my clients all meditate and they all stack. It's like prompted journaling. They'd be able to create that connection with themselves and they can learn to be vulnerable with themselves. You can't be vulnerable with somebody else if you can't be vulnerable with yourself. So we have to start there. But the tactical things that we then implement into the marriage is, I'm like, you have to treat these relationships like a bank account. If you're not investing in them regularly, then anytime you go to make a withdrawal and there's nothing there, it's not going to go well for you. Mm-hmm. So I start to teach them about, like, well, how do we make daily investments in the people that we love the most, our marriage or our kids? And it's going to be something simple. You send them a text, you write them a note, You send them a voice text. You send them a video. You go up to them and tell them that you appreciate them, all under the premise that you are expecting nothing in return. Nothing. Yeah. If you are doing this to expect them to give it back, we've already lost. So we start there. And we just do this every day, doing it in different ways, and we get creative. And then the next evolution of this is like, you have to date your wife. You have to date your husband. Mm. My wife and I have an 18-month-old. And it's hard for us to go out and go on date nights. But we've been making it a priority to either spend time multiple times of the week after we put our son down to talk to each other. Or we get a sitter and we go out on a date night and we get to spend the day together. And you have to have that sense of connection. You have to remember why you love the person. Oftentimes we get caught up in the role of being a parent or, you know, being a husband or a wife. And it's, we take all this stuff from work and we try to bring it home and we try to have these conversations at home and connect and have fun. But we forget that we're bringing all the stressors of everything. And then when you compound like the parenting on top of it, it's hard. You change the environment by going out and trying to impress your spouse and date them. It changes the whole dynamic. And when we can start to getting to those dates, it becomes an opportunity for us to open up, because now both people feel safe. Both people are having fun. They're connecting with themselves and they remember why they fell in love. And in that, we can start to have some conversations. But the rule on the date is no cell phones.
Mm, I love that for sure. It's the piece that sticks with me is expecting nothing in return, right? Because I think it's so easy, especially this coming from a recovering people pleaser. You know, you get into this pattern of like, oh, well, you get them flowers, you know, or you leave them like a nice note. But you might not even realize that it's like because you're expecting something in return, right? And whatever that is, you know, what, even if it's like, oh, you just want them to acknowledge you and appreciate you. But the reality is, like, if you want it to work in the long run, you have to literally not give a shit if they don't even say a word to you about it later in the day. Because what are you doing? Are you doing that for you? Or are you doing that for them? Right? If you're truly doing it for them, then who cares how they respond to it? And I think that's one of the hardest things to do, is because I think oftentimes couples will get into this pattern where one person will do it, the other person will do it, and it's like this like game of tag, right? And then as soon as one stops, because maybe they get busy, maybe there's a kid now, right? Maybe work's gotten crazy, whatever it is, then the other one just stops, because they're like, well, I'm not getting anything out of this anymore. Right. And I think you have to, you know, it all goes back to the beginning of like, be curious, trying to understand where they're coming from. And I think being able to still continue in these moments where it's like, everyone has those times, right, where you're probably not as present in the relationship. And then there's other times where your wife's not as present. Like, we all have that. But if you just go hot and cold with them every single time, then that's how this giant ball of resentment continues growing. Versus if you say like, you know what, she must be going through a really hard time these last couple of weeks, I'm going to keep showing up. And I don't even care if it's, you know, I'm going to say, hey, honey, I'm going to do the dishes. Why don't you go, you know, get in the bath or just sit down and just watch her show, you know, and expect absolutely nothing in return. And the reality is, when you do that, you're probably going to get something in return in the long run when you're doing those things too, right?
Yeah. I need to write this down while we're talking. You're going to have to cut this part out.
No worries.
You do. Like, you have to stay present. I think it's the first lesson in trying to learn unconditional love. We talk about loving our partner unconditionally until they don't give us something in return. It's like, oh, you only love them if. Got it. I'm guilty of it.
Yeah.
I'm guilty of it. Like, oh, I tell my wife all these things and she's like, what's wrong? I'm like, well, you don't tell me that you appreciate me. And the reality is, it's just like, there's a different way to do this. I'm going to continue to invest in you. And also, by continuing to invest in you, I'm going to feel comfortable and confident enough to be like, hey, listen, I love you, but I also need this in return. In a sense that, like, I'm not expecting it from you, but, you know, for me to feel loved, I just want you to know this is what I need. You've told me you need quality time. I need you to give me words of affirmation. It's okay to be clear with what you want in a relationship. That's kind of the part of it.
For sure. How do you deal with the, you brought up the love languages, you know, how do you deal when you have completely different love languages?
You got to treat people the way they want to be treated. You can't treat people the way you want to be treated. Because if that was the case, then I would yell at my wife and like motivate her, inspire her. She doesn't respond well to that. So I can figure out how like she wants to be treated. I can ask her those things. What does quality time mean to you, Lizzie? And she responded, I like to do fun stuff. I like to do things that we both enjoy together. Cool. So quality time is not us sitting on the couch watching Netflix. She's like, well, that can be, but not all the time. Okay, got it. Curious. Give me answers. Your partner will tell you what they want. It's just up to us if we want to be a fucking complete idiot and not listen, you know? But I think it's just understanding that. And the hardest part for most people is we have to bring this out of the darkness and bring some light on it to understand it. If your wife or your husband tells you, hey, this is what I need, well, then it's your responsibility to ask them more questions about it. And then to go do some of your own research on it to get clear on what that means.
I think that something that is, you know, I've definitely been guilty of this in the past, that is really hard, is when you are almost trying to, you're asking questions, you're trying to see what's wrong, right? You're trying to see what they want more of, but you're trying to do it in a way that leads them down the path of giving you an answer that you want to do. Right. It's like, yeah, no, I want to show them more appreciation. I want to show them more love and I want to do their love language, but like, I want to do it in my terms. Right. So how do I get them to say that this is what they like to do? Or same thing with like, you know, going on dates, right. It's like, I think that there's been so many times in my head that I'm like, how do I get them to say this, because this is what I want to do, right? Without being like, I just want to do this and I'm going to overrule them. Where like, to your point, the reality is like, maybe you have to do something that you don't want to do sometimes.
Yes, right? Yes.
And that's okay, right?
I want like, to see the Taylor Swift movie with my wife and I don't want to go see it, but I'm going.
Right. But I find like, I still like, we'll see couples that one person wants to do something and the other person wants to do something. And it blows my mind, like how often that they just do go their separate ways. They just do different things because the other person didn't want to do that. And I'm not saying that like you have to do everything together. Like, I think that there's certainly value in doing your own thing, having your own time. But I do also think there's something in being like, you know what? I don't really want to go to the movies tonight, but she really does. And maybe, you know, at the end of the day, it's just a good time to just have some quality time with her, yeah. Which is all that really matters.
The balance between both. And it's simply just stop lying and tell the truth. Hey, babe, I don't really want to go to the movie tonight, but I know you want to go. So I'm going to go. You can even just say that in your own head.
Yeah.
You don't have to say it directly to her. You don't have to verbalize that. But if you're trying to convince somebody to do something you want, then just be like, hey, listen, this is what I want to do. I'm going to just be very direct with what I want to do and tell you. Now, if you want to do it, great. If you don't want to do it, but you still want to hang out and you want to come with me, great. I'm still going to go do it. So you give them options.
Yeah. No strings attached, right?
None. Because what am I attached to? I'm not attached to the activity. I'm attached to the relationship.
Right.
So do I give a shit if she goes to watch the Colorado Avalanche play hockey tonight? No. Do I want her to go? Sure. Is the relationship going to end if she says no? No, not at all.
Right.
And this also doesn't give me permission to next time she asks, be like, well, you didn't go to the hockey game with me. It's like, no. We're here for the relationship.
Mm-hmm. So what would you say with all the people you worked with? You know, if you look at like the craziest turnaround stories, or you look at the people who have had the longest successful running marriages, like what are the biggest commonalities if you had to boil it all down? Because I'm sure it's so different by relationship, but is there like one or two things that you kind of see in those people?
we started to get curious with their questions. And they stopped lying, then they told the truth. Hey, babe, what you're doing is bothering me. Hey, what do you want in this relationship? Like, our ability to simply do that is huge.
Hmm.
Ask the questions. Anybody. You'll learn so much. Just because there are things that my wife has no clue about me. And there's things that I haven't told her that I didn't realize I haven't told her. I was 34 years in my life without her. We could talk endlessly. But part of that has to be her being curious about what it is. Part of that has to be me being curious about myself so I can share what it is. Curiosity in yourself and curiosity in the marriage will lead to a lot of connection just in that.
Yeah. Isn't that one of the coolest things? I'm 33. That like to think it's like, holy shit, there's still so many things you don't know about me.
Yeah.
It's like kind of exciting sometimes to your point that like you can continue dating for a long time because there's so many things that you haven't talked about because how could you? Right? Like,
yeah.
I've lived hopefully a third of my life. There's so much in the past that we have to uncover about each other. It's I think to your point, like you got to get excited about that.
Yeah. And that's why when the conversation is, how was your day? It tells me everything I need to know. If that's the constant conversation in your relation, it tells me everything I need to know. You don't know, you're not exploring yourself regularly, because if you were, you would have much more to talk about. Hey, babe, guess what happened in my meditation this morning? Guess what happened in my day to day? Guess what came up for me in my journal? Like, you have things that come up way from the past and you're like, I want to share this with you. This is a part of me. I want to give this as a gift to you.
Yeah.
But if you can't do the work and be curious with yourself and be willing to share those things, vulnerability, curiosity, well, then that's literally all you have to change.
Yeah. And from especially from a guy's perspective, like that vulnerability part, we're not very good at in the first place.
No.
But it is critical because I think to your point, like the amount of times that how was your day conversation has come up, and it's like, and thankfully, you know, I have heard and we have each other that we can look at each other, like the conversation I brought up earlier, that you could look at her and she could look at me and go, why aren't you talking?
Yeah.
What's going on in your head? Right. And to understand and not let that kind of like continuous, oh, I guess we're just not talking today. It's like, what's going on? Right. And to then that's like the most meaningful conversations, right? Is when you realize like, this is what's in my head. I'm just going to let it out. Right. And then you can dig through it. And you can talk through it. And you realize a lot of times it's, you know, there's shit in your head that's just not as bad as it seems, you know, and vice versa. But that starts because someone has to ask the question. Someone has to be curious enough to want to know, because they're trying to connect with you, right? They're not trying to just check this breakfast conversation off the list before I go to my job again that I hate, before I go do my workout that I need to do to not get fat, before I go to bed again tonight because that's just what I do and we already watched our Netflix shows, so let's just do it. You know, like we get in this cycle that it's like these interactions become almost like a to-do list, that you have to break yourself out of it. You have to be able to stop and say like, this is eggs and sausage and pancakes at breakfast for 20 minutes. And I'm not going to see this person for 8 more hours.
Yeah.
I have to use those 20 minutes as much as I can to connect with them. And then I could do the other stuff, right? Then I can go to work and try to be present there. Then I can do my workout and then I can come home and like have another chance to do it. But you got to be able to take those moments because we have so much, we don't have as many of them as we think.
Yeah. You know, for your listeners, for perspective here, how long have we known each other?
1 hour on the dot.
1 hour, 60 minutes. So you just listened to this entire thing and you heard two men who have never met each other be curious about the other person, asking questions, picking up on different topics, talking back and forth. We talked about marriage. We talked about working out. We talked about curiosity. We talked about a lot of stuff. If you go back and re-listen to this, listen to the quality of the questions and how the quality of the questions led to the depth of the conversation. Become a great interviewer and you're going to become a great relationship person. you and I are forever connected at this point. I think you're a good guy because your ability to answer questions and host this thing. Not only are you engaging, but you engaged me. And we didn't know each other at all.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
One, it's amazing the power of the internet, right?
Yeah, it is.
As much as we talk about how it's a problem, this is pretty cool that we get to do this right now. And I appreciate you. And this is an awesome conversation. And the fact that I can take an hour of my day and connect with a Colorado Avalanche fan, you know, across the country and have an in-depth, emotional, vulnerable conversation with you is amazing. So thank you.
And you know, the one question we didn't ask each other?
Huh?
How's the weather?
That's true. This is probably a bad time of year to ask that question.
Fair point.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate having you on, Sergio. Do you want to just finish up and tell people where they can find you and your work?
Yeah. Instagram is going to be your best location. Sergio.Nazaro. I'm posting there all the time. If you're curious about coaching, you're curious about life, marriage, whatever, hit me up on there and we can stay connected.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate having you on and thanks everybody for listening. Bye, everybody.